Good morning. Wasn't that worship awesome? Yes. I mean, I feel, talk about summer refresher. I feel like I'm like, okay, that was good. Yes. Thank you guys, worship team, for leading us in worshiping our God this morning. So I know some of you are very disappointed. John Pritikin is supposed to be here. I am not John Pritikin. If you haven't noticed, I'm not as tall. I definitely don't have those muscles that he has. John Pritikin is awesome. He actually is super sick right now, and he called PC first day of his sabbatical, because you guys know PC is getting refreshed this month on his sabbatical, right? And we're getting refreshed in service with awesome guest speakers and treats, and then today you get me in a treat. Thanks. Thank you. But anyway, he called and he told him that he was sick, and PC calls me first day of his sabbatical, and he's like, can you make it happen? Cool, sure, okay, make it happen. I have a few, so normally I have like 20 hours to prepare, 15 hours, 20 hours to prepare a couple weeks, because I don't speak every week, and I like to sit in it and practice, and I didn't get to do like any of that stuff. I had a few hours, and I was like, okay, God, give me something. So today's different, right? It's unexpected, but we can still come, and we can worship our God. We can still come and hear what he wants to say to us, and I pray right now, God, I pray that you speak to the hearts, to all of our hearts today, to my heart, to our hearts. I pray that your word is highlighted, that your who you are is glorified today, and that we can lift you up. In Jesus' name, amen. So I might look at my notes more, forgive me for that. I'll try not to, but it might happen. I thought you missed John Pritikin. I brought a stick and I'm gonna break it. Okay, ready? Can I get like a, everyone go like 3, 2, 1. Okay, ready?
3, 2, 1.
Yeah, I'm so glad it broke. What if it didn't break? What if it was like a new branch and I was trying to break it? That'd be so disappointing. It's already, okay, no, I'm just kidding. So today, the message is called True Freedom. And we're gonna talk about freedom, about laws. It's 4th of July weekend. This is really, this message is something that God's been putting on my heart recently. As a people group, as a church, as our country is kind of going through this weird time right now, God, I felt like there's this burden on my heart. So it's kind of cool that I get to share it with you guys. But first, laws. Did you know we have some weird laws here in California? We have weird laws. Okay, first one, I am not allowed to drive a car wearing a house coat. Women are not allowed to drive cars wearing house coats. That is a law, that's a real law. Yeah, weird, huh? Okay, Eureka, have you ever heard of the mustache law? Anyone? The mustache law, if you live in Eureka, a man with a mustache cannot kiss a woman. It is illegal for a man with a mustache to kiss a woman. I verified it, that's true. I feel like the razor company had something in on that. So all of you guys with mustaches out there, don't move to Eureka unless you wanna shave. They don't really enforce it though. Garage, so in Los Angeles and Long Beach, it's illegal for you to put anything in the garage except for a car, a motor vehicle, that's it. I live down there, that's not how people live, but it's a weird law that they have down there. In Carmel, women are actually, they are required to have a permit if they wear heels more than 2 inches. Has anyone been to Carmel? I haven't been there. I'm told that it's super uneven pavement. So I think they're just trying to protect people. Makes sense, but you have to get a permit to wear heels more than 2 inches. Although I kind of wish that was the case anyway, because I don't like wearing heels more than 2 inches. Like today I have on platforms, and then that's, it's a wedge. So you have more balance there. It's not just like a little stick that you get in the grass and then you fall over. This one is also super funny, hunting. It is illegal to hunt game in a moving vehicle, except whaling. However, whaling is illegal. What? I think we need some revisions here. We have some silly laws, but we also have things like anti-bullying laws. We have controlled substance laws, human trafficking laws, youth labor laws, environmental protection laws. We have good laws, and then we have laws that are ridiculous, like me not being able to leave the house in a house coat and drive my car. And I thought I would tell you guys a fun story today. Sorry, Jared. you know, when you're married to someone who preaches, it's, yeah, it's just about to happen. So a handful of years ago, I was at my friend's wedding. Jared and I just got married. I guess it was almost 8 years ago. Jared and I just got married, and it was my friend's wedding. Mine are my best friend's wedding from Bible college, and she lives in Colorado. So I go out to Hannah's wedding, and I get a call in the middle of the night. Jared calls me at like 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning, and he's like, hey, someone just broke into my car. I'm like, what? Well, what happened was he heard the alarm go off. Now, we lived in Southern California. He worked at the Bible college, we both worked at a church, didn't have a lot of money. Housing there is expensive, right? So we didn't live in the best neighborhood ever. And we parked our cars on the street, and someone came and broke in his car. And he saw them. They're right there just rummaging through, getting stuff. The guy saw him and he ran away. Jared has to run upstairs, get his phone, call the police. He hears his alarm go off again. And he's tired, right? So he runs back down. The guy sees him. The cops come at this point. They were super close. So they come, and they're all like fast pursuit going after him. Jared does all the paperwork and everything. By the time that's all done, the reports are all done. Cops are super nice to him. It's like 3 in the morning. What is he going to do with the car? We have nowhere to park the car. So he texts friends. His one friend, Nicole's like, hey, I'm not home, but park it at Jenny's house. Now, Jenny is our friend. She lives in kind of like a back lot area, like a back house, and there's like a little parking lot there. Well, Jenny was out of town, and he's like, oh, okay. So he drives over there. We hang out with her all the time. We used to watch Walking Dead with her, all that kind of stuff, back when that was a thing. So we parked back there, and he's like trying to patch up the window, cardboard or something, and he sees lights coming. There are 2 flashlights coming down the driveway. He's like, that's weird. And police officers come. Are you supposed to be here? And he's tired. All of the adrenaline is gone from earlier, and he can't make a sentence. He's like, well, not really, and kind of. And then they handcuff him. At this point, he's detained, right? And then it's like bad cop, right? So then they're just like questioning him and everything, and he's so tired, and the police officers were so nice earlier, and now they're like, what are you doing here? Why are you here? All this kind of stuff. And a minute or two later, the other police officer walks out, Jenny. She came home early from her trip, and she saw that there was something sketchy going on outside. And they're like, do you know him? And she goes, yeah. And they're like, do you know him in like a good way? She's like, well. And he's like, Jenny, come on. And anyways, so in this situation, laws are set up for a reason, right? Laws are meant to protect. They're meant to restrain harm from us. And in this situation, he could have been harmful, right? We didn't know who this guy was. Then she found out it was Jared, and that was fine. Early in the day, there was somewhere else, you know, like when his car was broken into, that person was there, and he was causing harm to someone else's property. So laws are put in place to restrain harm. The problem is that laws don't solve all of our problems. When you find out that someone you loved, someone who you considered to be a friend, has betrayed you, what law is there for that? What law is there when you have all the things that you need, but you just are feeling kind of lonely? You're feeling kind of depressed. There's no law that can help you. Maybe your life is pretty good, but you keep on coming around and you're asking the question, what's the purpose in life? Like, why am I really here? I don't know what to do in this next stage of my life. There's no law to give you that answer. There's no law that when you desire so badly to be married and you haven't found that person yet, there's no law that can help you with that. When you and your spouse are fighting and you can't seem to resolve the conflict, there's no law for that. There's no law that's gonna help you with that. When you compare yourselves to your neighbors, to your coworkers, there's no law that can help with that. Because the laws aren't going to help with those things. It's not the purpose of them. They're meant to restrain harm. They're not meant to give life. For centuries, when people have been discontent with where they're at. They have sought other means to fulfill those areas. They've sought other things to give them life. The good news is, because this has happened for centuries, right? This happened in Jesus's day, it happened before that, as far back as we go as humanity, right? The good news is that there is an answer that will give us life, and it's only found through one means, only one means. So first, we're going to turn to Galatians today. We're kind of living in Galatians. That's the letter that's on my heart. So Galatians 2:16. Let's pop it up here. Hey, that worked. I have powers. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. So let's look at this again. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. Let's go back to the first part. We know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. Because nobody is ever going to be made right with God by obeying a law, right? I'm going to give you a little bit of background about what was going on in Galatia at the time. So Paul wrote this letter, and honestly, if you read it and you read some of his other letters, there's a difference. He is heated. He is angry. He's like very passionate in every single sentence. Like, what are you doing? Don't be foolish. What was going on at the time is that there were Jewish leaders, there were teachers in the area, and they were teaching that you needed to get salvation, to be saved, to be forgiven of your sins, you needed Jesus plus. So it was Jesus plus, and you can fill in the blank. It was Jesus plus circumcision. Nobody wants that, right? Making it a little bit harder to get to God. Jesus plus all of these Old Testament customs and traditions. It wasn't just Jesus. And this was making Paul angry. He went on his trip there before. And he said, the only way that you get to God is by faith in Jesus Christ. And here comes these teachers after he left. And they're saying, no, it's Jesus plus. They're making it harder to get to God. I could just, if you read, I encourage you to read Galatians this week, because you could like see Paul's face turning red. I feel like I see him turning into a tomato as he's telling like the secretary, okay, write this down. And at the end, he pens it in his own hands. Like, I'm penning this to let you know that it's me who sent it. He's just so passionate about this topic that faith is only found through Jesus. When Jesus came, the perfect plan for salvation came. And he didn't, if you're Facebook friends with me this week, I posted something yesterday or the day before. Jesus didn't come as a political leader. He didn't come to change the Roman government, the Roman imperial cult that was going on at the time. He didn't come to change that. He could have. If we believe that God is powerful, if he's all powerful, if he could do whatever he wanted, couldn't he have come and changed the rules and the policies and the laws? I mean, think about their crucifixion. That was one of the most terrible things, the way that they torture them and beat them and hang people on trees and they're all naked and they're just bleeding to death and everything. Then there are kids, there are temple prostitutes. There were kids who were being sacrificed. There were kids who were left in the fields when they were just abandoned in fields. Jesus could have come and changed all the policies, but he came to transform lives in a different manner. He came to transform lives by making it easier to get to God. When he left, he sent the Holy Spirit to live amongst us. If you remember before that, in the Old Testament, you'll notice that the Holy Spirit is kind of like God's Spirit is usually what you see is in different places. So we have God in the burning bush, God in this pillar of fire, God in there's this bright light, like these different areas where God was, but God's Spirit was kind of, it followed in different places amongst prophets and stuff like that, but not everywhere to everyone. When Jesus came, suddenly we get the Spirit of God to live inside of us, to tell of his truth, to write his truth on our heart so that we can walk in him, so that we can be transformed daily into who he's created us to be, to make it easier for other people to know him. So let's turn to Galatians 5, 13 through 15. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. I think there's more. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. All of the law, all of the Old Testament, everything that the prophets were supposed to pass on and the kings were supposed to uphold, all of the Pharisees were supposed to have this spirit. So it could all be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out, beware of destroying one another. Everything can be summed up. All of it, all of the Old Testament, why the commandments were there, everything is to love God and to love one another. We're supposed to love each other as ourselves. So as we were singing earlier, blessed are those, it's in the song, we actually didn't sing this verse, but it's part of it. Blessed are those who repent of their sins. Blessed are those who are pure in their heart's intentions. Blessed are those who keep peace. Blessed are the people who, these are the people who are the salt of the world. These are the people who are the light on the hill. The way to Jesus is easy. Follow the light on the hill. We are the light on the hill. Do you get it? Other people want to get to Jesus. Jesus came to make it easy. Follow the light on the hill. We're the light on the hill. When are we the light? We're the light when we repent of our sins, when we turn back to God. We're the light when our hearts are pure. We're the light when we keep peace. Those are the things that point to Jesus. Think about the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control, generosity. Think about these things like these are, that's what points people to Jesus. So can we turn off the lights for a second, as much as we can? We'll see if we can. Lights. How do you get to Jesus? Can I get one light? Ooh. We're the light on the hill when we're peaceful, when we're loving, when we're caring. Remember, love one another as yourself. That's when we're the light on the hill. That's when other people see Jesus. Like this, you can see this. If imagine you're camping, you can't see anything, but you see that light, you know how to get to it. That's where safety is. Okay, turn on all the lights. Living in freedom is easy, right? It's a short message today. You can throw it up here. Living in true freedom is easy. Realize that the only reason why you are free is because of Jesus' sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sins. It's nothing you did. It's not how good you've been. It's not because you've done XYZ. It's because you've not done XYZ. It's because of Jesus, and that's it. We are forgiven. None of us deserve it. We've all done stuff that has hurt other people, and that's hurt God. But we're forgiven because of Jesus. He made it easy. And the second thing is this. Your freedom is displayed through the law of love. Jesus said all of it is wrapped up in one law, and it's the law of love. Love one another as yourself. When you find that person who's betrayed you, that friend who's betrayed you, this will look like humbleness, staying humble. Even when that person has betrayed you, attacked you, you have no reason to show love to them. Be humble and be self-controlled rather than blowing up at them. It'll look like when you're lonely, pulling closer to Jesus. Find joy when circumstances say you shouldn't have joy. Find joy in him. When you're asking what the purpose of life is, remember the biggest thing that Jesus came for, and that's to love your neighbor as yourself. If you've lost on what to do, what your next stage in life is, what you're supposed to do, love your neighbor as yourself. Make that your goal. When you're arguing with your spouse, do your best to work it out. Get counseling. Go on the marriage retreat that we have coming up. That's, I believe, in Folsom, by the way. I don't know if he said Folsom. go on the marriage. Do whatever you need to do to live in peace and live in harmony with your spouse. Or when you're constantly comparing yourselves to your friends, neighbors, or coworkers, which we all do. Remember the bigger picture. Life isn't about what other people think about us. It's not about what we have. It's not about what we've accomplished. It's about what God's accomplished, what he's accomplished in your life, being transformed into love. Each person you meet, each person you come across, being transformed into love. When we live with the law of love, we'll be living the way Jesus did. Not as a political leader, but as someone who brought life transformation through a more effective route. Forgiveness transforms, and it did it for us. Love transforms. So go transform your homes, transform your work, transform your family, transform your social media, and do this all through the law of love. Let's all pray. God, turn us into you. Help us to be like you. Help our hearts to be like you anywhere where we've been focusing on the wrong thing. Help us to know what true freedom is, and that's through you because of what you've done and what it looks like. It looks like the ability to love people despite the circumstances. When they don't deserve it, we can love like you love. I pray that over each person in here today. In Jesus' name, amen.